Pick up, and if you'll turn to 1 Timothy 2, because the passage number 4 in here, I think, kind of where we left off. I think maybe I touched on it, but the prayer and thanksgiving for them, and I want to start with that. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 are is the reference. I would suggest that it would be good to go through verse 4. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And here's the part that the emphasis was on, for kings and for all that are in authority. Again, these are the obligation of inferiors to superiors, so all that are in authority. So he's addressing the inferiors here relative to the superiors. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And I've added these two verses, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So somewhat of an affirmation of the fifth commandment with that. But verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. Now, that's connected with praying for superiors. Being in, praying for the kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, because it's good in the sight of God, who, verse 4, will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So what's the inference? Is it not that what we're doing will have an influence? And my point, and I think this is true in a lot of the passages, a lot of verses that deal with prayer. There are certain ones that deal with praying for particular people in these relationships. Not all of them do. Anything that relates to you and your walk with the Lord is certainly a prayer that you could pray for your equals. But it struck me as I was looking at these verses, you're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Okay? And that's an easy part. We like that. We like that. We live in a country where that's been true for our lifetime. A quiet and peaceable life. We can go about living our life, worshiping without a lot of hassle. Now, that's perhaps changing a bit, but without a lot of hassle. But don't stop there. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, question. If it's not, if it's not our desire to lead a life in all godliness and honesty, do we have any right to pray the prayer for those in authority that might come to pass? Now, certainly it's not going to hurt, but I think that there's some points here that we can easily overlook. That is, the end goal here is, number one, that we can go about living lives that are pleasing to God. If that's not our goal, then the question is, well, what's the point in praying for those in authority to the end that that could happen? If we don't care that it happens, if it's not our heart's desire that it happens, what's the point in praying the prayer? And the very end goal in verse 4 is what? All of this, we're praying for those in authority so that we can live a godly life to the end that what? Verse 4. What's happening? That people get saved, that the kingdom of God advances. All right? So the obligation of inferiors to pray for superiors, it kind of comes back around that while you're praying for the superiors, you're praying, number one, for your own spiritual advancement, and number two, for the ultimate expansion of the kingdom of God. So praying for the superiors. The next one, number five, the imitation, imitation of their virtues and graces. And Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example or in sample. Now, the imitation, again, is not just a blind walking following. I mean, how many of us could imitate Paul? How many of us are going to try to imitate, not Dr. Overly, but Paul the Apostle, Dr. Overly is right. But how many of us, are you kidding? Imitate Paul? No way. But what's the point, again, of the verse? What is it really that you are doing? Look at it. Brethren, or remember them which have the rule over you, who have done what? Spoken the word of God. Spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Whose faith follow. In other words, if they've spoken to you, there's certainly, again, the inference that they know the word of God, that they are living according to that word of God. So if that's what's happening, then if you're imitating them, what are you really doing? You're living according to God's word. So it's, when you say imitate, when Paul said imitate me, well, certainly we would say Paul taught. I mean, we've got the New Testament, a large part of it, that lets us know that Paul knew his theology. Not only did he know it, he lived it. But Paul didn't live anything that he didn't teach, nor did he fail to teach anything that he knew was critical to Christian living. So, know the word of God and do. You can imitate me to the extent of what I've told you and what I'm living out before you that is consistent with the word of God. It's interesting at times just to note some of the little things that are in these verses that come into play. Then we've got obedience. We've got willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 deals with the home. All right, obedience in the home. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So we have obedience in the home. Top of page 451, Ephesians 6, 5 through 7, we have obedience in the workplace. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You see, back where the heart, word and behavior, well, that's what we've got. The last verse, verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Obviously, that's the key in all these relationships. Inferior, superior, equal, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. Doing it with the right attitude and for the right reason. I want to honor the Lord. I want to do what I ought to do relative to my superior. But that's not the end goal. The end goal is to honor the Lord. Fifth commandment, all right, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, ultimately, for the Christian, it's honoring our Heavenly Father. That's in view for us, but certainly the human relationships are also in view. So we've got the home, we've got the workplace, we've got in civil matters, government. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. That's kind of a tough one right now, isn't it? You know? How does that come to bear on where we are right now with some of the stuff that's being said and done? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. You can say that some of these people aren't doing what the Lord sent them to do, what they should be doing before the Lord, but it gets to be a little more of a sticky, it's just not so cut and dry for believers. Because he doesn't say when it's convenient. He doesn't say when it's in keeping with what you think. Now the hard part for believers right now has come in what? In the conflict between the obedience to the civil government and what we're doing today in worship. What you do Monday through Saturday, you know, that's between you and the Lord. But when the civil government starts interfering and interrupting and challenging and making worship impossible, now we've got, remember we talked about two, this inferior superior thing is not so easy because you can move from one position to the other, just boom. And so how, and when you've got two, all right, I'm an inferior to the government. I'm also an inferior to the church, to the leaders in the church. Now, when I'm part of that group, the elders doing stuff, I'm part of that. But as a member, as a member of the church, okay, I'm an inferior. So now I've got two relationships that are doing what right now? They're kind of doing this number, aren't they? So what do we do? What's the rule of, as it were, if I can put it this way, what's the rule of thumb for the believer?
Paul? Our default is to obey the government. When that can't be done, then we can't disobey and still reflects well with God.
So how do we know when that happens? What do we do as believers? Where do we go the first thing? We're going to find out what we got to do. Where do we go? To the Word. We go to the Word of God. All right? Because if we can't find, I would suggest to you, my personal opinion, we haven't discussed this in the session, personal opinion, if you can't find in the Word of God something that says, Paul, listen, we're going to let you out of jail, but no more preaching. All right? Civil government, Paul, Peter, writing these verses, certainly had the conflicts. Civil government, don't do this. They get out of jail, and what do? Go straight back to preaching, don't they? So they disobeyed the civil government. They disobeyed. On what basis? Who sets up the civil government? Who? Talk to me. Who ordains? Who and what's in office? God, right? So they're accountable to God, and you read in the verses, God's ordained them to do certain things. Now, if they aren't doing it, does that mean you can just willy-nilly disobey them? No. No. Christ himself said what? Render to Caesar. What Caesar's? Tribute. Hey, you got to pay your taxes. They may be misusing it. He may be hiring soldiers to go kill people. Pay your taxes. But what's the rest of that? Render to God the things that are God's. What belongs to God in that illustration, in that verse? What is it that's to be rendered to God? If the money, the tribute, was to be rendered to Caesar, what was to be rendered to God? The life, right? All right? So you render your service and your obedience to God if there's the conflict. Not always easy. Not always cut and dry. So we have to be careful, because what's the end goal that we looked at in Timothy? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So in light of that, if you've got to make a decision about what you're going to do, and I tell you, that decision is going to impact your neighbor. They're watching you. They may never say a word to you, but they're watching you, and if I told you that what you did appeared to them to be open defiance, and they wanted no part of your religion just because you refused to do a certain thing, would it change your thoughts about what it is you're to do or not to do? Remember Paul? The matter of the meat offered to idols. What was Paul's ultimate thought there? What was the thing that, I eat it. It's not going to bother me. I'm not eating it as meat offered to idols. But Paul said, look, if it's going to affect my ability to give the gospel, I can leave it. It's just not a big thing relative to my giving the gospel. And again, it's the same thing that we're having to deal with, is it not? And more. What do we do when there's nothing going on and they say, you know what? We just want to be careful next flu season. Well, we have them every year, right? I can't remember recently a year when there's not always a big deal. Get your flu shot. is going to be bad this year. Get your flu shot. Now, if you get flu shot, that's fine. I'm not opposed to getting flu shots. But my point is, what if they start saying, you've got to do this if you're going to go to church? You can't assemble. You can't be in a group if you don't get your flu shot. Gets to be a little tougher, doesn't it? Could happen. You know, they're talking about, and we were talking about this, they're talking about some of the airlines. If you don't get your vaccination, you don't fly. I don't know if they'll do that or not. And so, you know, as long as you've got another airline that you can fly on, it doesn't really matter too much. But what if they all do that? You know, and now they're talking, some of them, with whatever, when they give you the vaccination, there's something that they can read or whatever, or you get something implanted or whatever. I mean, all kinds of things that are being talked about. These aren't just things that in somebody's imagination are being talked about. And is it signs of the end times? I don't have a clue. But inferiors, superiors. You are an inferior to your government. You have an obligation before God in that position. You've got to make sure that as you live out that relationship, it's in keeping with God's word. If God says, pray for those in authority over you, and they're not helping the Christian cause at all, what do you do? Is that prayer conditional? That is, pray for them to the end. If they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, then you pray for them. Is it praying for them, not just praying for them, again, praying that they'd be saved? By the way, I don't know if you've heard the president's Christmas address. If you didn't, you might want to listen to it. You just, you know, it encouraged your heart. Now, again, you just trust the Lord uses some of the knowledge he has to speak to his own heart. But it was encouraging to me. But do you pray that God will bring them to the point, bring them to occupy the position they're in? All right? Bring them to that so that it doesn't bring you to this conflict. You see how praying for those in authority, practically speaking, why it's so important? Lord, help them to do the things they should be doing in their office so that I can obey them and obey you. I can do what's right and godly and not have this conflict of being in disobedience. I don't want to be in disobedience. And I'm not going to be in disobedience if they're doing what God ordained leaders to do. And not all of them do that. So now, all right, maybe the Lord's just going to test our heart. You know, kind of like he did with the children of Israel. I just want to see what's in your heart. I'm going to make life a little tough. I'm going to see. Are you willing to suffer a little bit? Are you willing to take a stand if a stand's needed? Or, hey, I better just kind of, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to have my life interrupted. I don't want to have the family impacted. And all those things could happen pretty quick. You know, the blessing that we have enjoyed in this land. Stopping, I was thinking about that a little bit too. Just how good the Lord's been to us. From the get-go. Not that everybody was a believer. But from the time this country was founded to today, there has generally been freedom to worship God, not only freedom to worship God, but an encouragement. Things that not only allow you, but would lead you. Again, is it changing? Sure it is. But praying for those in authority. Imitators, we've talked, I was getting there, I got sidetracked. Obedience in the civil government, 1 Peter was where we were, on page 451. Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Powers that be are ordained of God. All right? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, does what? Resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Now, again, you can say, well, if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, it makes submission and doing what I need to be doing much easier. Last verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Hebrews 13, we've had the home, we've had the workplace, we've had civil government. Hebrews 13, 17, we've got the church. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now again, the prayer that you're offering doesn't change in any of these. We're praying that God will help those in authority do what God has ordained them to do to the end. Two things, right? We've seen to the end that, number one, we can do what's right and holy. That we, sanctification takes place, keeps taking place. All right? And number two, that the gospel goes out, the kingdom of God expands. All right? The church. And generally, there's a couple of the verses here in that number 6. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. That's Proverbs 23, Exodus 18, 19, and 24. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. So the idea of listening, the obedience, and then the hearkening to their counsel. Corrections, submitting to corrections, Hebrews 12, 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Goes back to what we were just talking about. If there's a conflict between the authorities, the superiors, what do we do? 1 Peter, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Kind of interesting there. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, which is what they should be, but also to the froward. They don't always get it right. None of us do. God says, that's not an excuse. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, so if somebody comes along and says, hey, don't do that, that's wrong. You take it patiently. Well, you should take it patiently, because if you're doing wrong, you really don't have any basis to come back and say, hey, don't talk to me like that. Now, it's not an excuse that they don't talk to you the right way, but at the same time, you can't come back. But if, when you do well and suffer for it, that's the froward situation. If when you do well and suffer for it, somebody thinks you're doing wrong, but you really aren't, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And again, I go back to 1 Timothy. So what's the end goal? To bring honor and glory to God. So your boss jumps all over you because he thought you did something that you didn't do. You actually had done something very good for him. But he gets up and he crawls down your throat, gives you a hard time, and you, sorry, I didn't, you know, if that's what you thought, I'm apologize, I'm sorry. He finds out not only that you didn't disobey, that you had done something that benefited him, and you took it patiently. You didn't fly back at him and say, listen, buddy, if you don't appreciate me, I'll just leave, okay? You can find somebody else to abuse. I'm not taking it. But you take it patiently. And he comes to you, hey, I was wrong. And why didn't you say something? Because you didn't know you were wrong at the time, and I understood where you were coming from. Even if you were wrong, I kind of understood. And, you know, you've been kind to me. You've been good to me. We all make mistakes. Now, what does that do if that employer is lost? Okay? The testimony, that's where we get back to how this plays out in our life every day. The inferiors, the superiors, and the equals, but right now, inferiors relative to their superiors. Submission to corrections, loyalty to Titus 2, 9 and 10, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. All right? Unto their own masters. Your master says do this, and somebody else's master says do that, you think, you know, I like that one better. I think that's a better idea. You be obedient. There is a loyalty. I'm going to do it the way my boss told me to do it. Now, doesn't keep you from going to the boss and saying, hey, what do you think about doing it this way? All right? But if that's not possible at the moment, you do what your boss, you are loyal to your own master. Not purloining, bottom of page 451, but showing all good fidelity, loyalty. Why? That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. See how it all comes back to living our lives in God's kingdom here on earth? Yes. Contesting and not. Where's Jack? He's always on his Google with his. Steal. Well, yeah. if you're supposed to be doing something, if you're wasting your time, for example, on the job because you don't like your employer, and just stupid. It's a resistance to doing what you ought to be doing. All right? Good. All right. Defending. You defend their person. You defend their authority. You've got the verses there. Number 9, page 452, 1 Samuel, where David challenges Abner. Remember when David got the spear and the, what was it, the cruse? The cruse of water. And David, I thought you were supposed to be protecting the king. Isn't that your job? How did I wind up with the king's spear? You didn't do your job. It was serious. David said you ought to die for not doing your job. The defending. People talking to David, 2 Samuel 18:3. King, I'm going out. Let's go out and fight. And they said, no. You stay. Let us go out and fight. They don't care about us, but if they get you, we're done for. Kings went out to fight, but we have Mordecai, the example in Esther, Mordecai going and reporting on two of the king's chamberlains. And of course, you know how that played back into the entirety of what we have in Esther with what happened with Mordecai and what happened with Haman and the group. And that whole event. But we have, again, Mordecai. And that wasn't his people. He's taking care of a king that didn't necessarily, from a human relationship, from a human nationality, didn't demand his allegiance. That's where he was. He said, that's not right. They're going to do it in the king. I need to let somebody know that. That's not right. So it's doing what's right. And again, fifth, honoring. The king was the king no matter what Mordecai's position was. And Mordecai had an obligation to honor that position and to protect, to defend the king. Honoring, and again, we talked about this a little while ago. The honorings, they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So we've talked about that. Romans 13, 6 and 7. So this honoring, again, we have in the civil government, render therefore to all their dues, tribute. That's tax on the person. That's like our income tax. Tribute, to whom tribute is due, custom, that'd be like our sales tax. All right, that's tax on goods and what we use. Custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. In the church, 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Those that teach, Galatians 6, 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. In the family, there will I nourish thee, and so forth. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families during the famine. The end goal, number 11 on page 452, the catechism question, bearing with their infirmities, covering them in love, that so they, the inferiors, may be an honor to them and to their government. All right, Psalm 127, 3-5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of his, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate, because the children are obeying and honoring, and it reflects. Proverbs 31:23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land, because he's there doing what he's doing because his wife has done and is doing what she is to do that brings honor to him. Take a look at Colossians. We'll end with this. You could add this in your book if you wanted to as an additional reference in this number 11. Colossians 3, in verses 12 through 24, now I'm not going to read all of it because we just don't have time, but it talks about the relationships. Starts out, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, and so forth. Now, that's how you go into these relationships. You want to honor? You can start with what's in Colossians here. And at the end, you got the children obeying parents, servants obey your masters. Whatsoever, verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Okay, why are we doing this? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You do it for the Lord, and the Lord will reward you. For ye serve the Lord Christ. That's what these Ten Commandments are all about. Helping us in our life, day by day, to serve the Lord Christ. To honor Him in all that we think, all we say, and all we do. Just as with people. You know? It's easy sometimes we can do the things and we can say things, but what's going on in the head and the heart? I'll do it, but I sure don't want to. I'll do it, but man, do I hate them. I mean, you know, the heart can mess us up, the devil, the things that are there. All right, we'll pick up with question 128 next Lord's Day, Lord willing. So we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll you can go down and get some coffee and muffins or whatever. Father, again, we are thankful for thy word. Lord, we're so blessed to have thy word and to be able to consider it and to share with one another and to talk about it, to encourage one another. Lord, help us. Help us to, in fact, bring honor and glory to thee. Help us, Lord, in those tough times when it's not so easy to decide how it is we are to live and who we are to obey and how we're to obey them. Lord, we pray that you would spare us from those kinds of conflicts, but help us to be wise when we're found in those positions and how we deal with them. Lord, bless us in the remainder of this day. Bless the service that will follow. Be with our brother Wagner as he would bring the word here. Be with our minister, Reverend Tomasian, as he's in Columbia. Lord, bless their time there. Then we pray that you would go with us in the day and bring us again here this evening to worship thee. Lord, help us by thy Spirit to worship thee aright this day. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.